Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the OK Gamers podcast. Again, this is a podcast where we talk about video games. A couple of best friends talk about video games. We got a couple boys. We got a couple boys here. You could call him B, but don't call him Bumblebee. Brian Zinser.
That's really good. Oh, man. How long have you had that one? How long have you had that one banked away?
That one since the last episode. I think I told Pat and Andrew that I had one for you, so I saved it.
Okay.
Until you're on the podcast again. And he's always subbed, never dubbed, Pat Murtha.
Hey. I'm going to need you to lean back a little bit. I could hear, like, how loud you are. Like, it's coming through my headphones into my microphone.
Brian, come on. Let me get my moment
I love you. I'm so glad that you're hosting. I love the introductions. They're tremendous. I had to just...
Too loud? Yeah, just, all right. A little too excited.
I love the enthusiasm, everybody.
So we're here. We're here to talk about video games. How are you guys doing?
Good. It's good to be back. Keen. It's been a few weeks.
Peachy.
That's good. Keen. We are happy you are back.
Thank you. Thank you.
So why don't you start us off, Brad? What have you been playing?
Sure. So I should write these things down because I play a bunch of games that I forget. So I'll try to hit all the notes here. So I checked out the Back 4 Blood beta, which I played that with some of the boys here. That game seems like it's going to be great. Seems like it's going to be a really good time to play with your friends, your buds. The missions that we played through were pretty, standard, I guess, for like the Left 4 Dead experience. I wasn't too like thrilled overall with like the, like what it was doing in terms of environments. But I think from a like playing perspective, the game is very functional. We didn't run into any like major hiccups for like a beta. It feels very crisp. They've obviously put a lot of work into it. Looks tremendous, so it's just like, granted it's not Left 4 Dead, but it is very much that game. So I'm curious to see what like the later stages look like and how like inventive they get with like, some of the shit that they have.
The couple of levels I played, one of my favorite parts about the Left 4 Dead games are usually like the finales of like the levels that you're going through. And, like, the couple of levels I did for Back 4 Blood, like, the finales were kind of underwhelming for me.
Yeah, that's kind of the point I was trying to make. Like, I know, and not really a spoiler here, but, like, one of the missions we played, the finale was, like, there was, like, a fucked up cruise ship, and you had to, like, plant bombs on it.
The ferry, you're going to blow it up.
Yeah, and it was, don't get me wrong, like, the set piece, like, looked cool, looked good, but at the same time, it really just wasn't, like, that.
Yeah, like Left 4 Dead 2, like, waiting for the boat to pick you up at, like, the little, like, lighthouse, and, like everybody jumping on it while you're getting like swarmed and shit.
Yeah.
My biggest complaint about the Black 4 Blood beta was there's way too many birds, and the bird.
Oh yeah, there was one. I triggered the horde because I was shooting a zombie standing in a bush, and there were like birds behind the bush that I couldn't see. So like I shot, and it was like you alerted the birds. Here comes the horde. I was like, oh. It's like, what?
Like, I'm half joking, but I will say they use that mechanic a lot. And, like, if you shoot at a zombie right next to the birds are like, oh, okay, we don't fucking care. But then the second you shoot the birds, they're like, holy fucking shit, we gotta go. So, like, I think there is a lot of birds, I felt like.
Well, there wasn't really a witch enemy, from what I can remember. In the beta, at least, so I guess maybe like
not really. I will say that it felt more impactful in Left 4 Dead when like one of the special zombies were on.
They
like,
throw
the
these
field.
Motherfuckers at you left and right,
and it like there's like the boomer one like they kind of have like they have like the one that like spits at you like they like were kind of hitting those same notes but like they didn't really feel like they were like whenever. I remember in Left 4 Dead when like they had those things like messing with you, it was like super impactful to like your overall experience. Like you'd have to take care of those things like right away, otherwise like your team would just fall behind, you'd be miserable. So like I think like some of those things need to be balanced and maybe reworked a little bit. But hey, that's why they do betas, right?
Yeah.
So.
I like the gun customization. it feels less arcadey with that kind of stuff. Like I had like a Deagle with like a sharpshooter like sight on it, like which was like super fun to use, as opposed to just like I have the machine gun and I have the shotgun. So I thought that was cool. Like I really really like the like shared pool of money, but you don't lose like it if the other people spend
it. It's shared when it's collected, really cool, but not shared when it's spent. Idea.
Yeah. So you can't be like some guy just buying a bunch of fucking firecrackers for no reason, but like it helps to explore. I like that concept a lot, which I feel like more games should have that really.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I like that too. But
definitely that was cool. Would agree. Yeah.
It's a hard game to like say anything bad about. Like if someone played, like I can understand you not being like this is the greatest thing I've ever played, but it's like it was so solid that it's like what could somebody really say to be like I was like that they didn't have fun with it. Like, unless you're comparing it to, like, a one-to-one to Left 4 Dead, because I still think Left 4 Dead was the superior game, at least right now. You know what I mean? Like, there's not much to say. Like, I think this is, like, not a good thing. The shooting is too tight, and, like, the zombie mechanics are, like, too good to just be, like... It's just fun to just play, even if that's all there is to it.
Like, it's literally just, like, it's a video game in its purest form, really. Like, it's, like, just... It's, like, mindless, like, I'm just gonna fucking murder these zombies real good, like... That's like literally what you're running from point A to point B, shooting stuff, and then maybe you die, maybe you don't. Yeah. I don't know.
Like it's, even if they don't like you were saying, don't nail like the set pieces and don't nail like the endings and stuff like that. Even if it's just straight up, just kind of just run and gun, like it's still well enough for like a playthrough. You know, it still will hold my attention enough to get through.
Yeah, it's
like
also
that,
just like that. Yeah. It's video game comfort food in the sense of like it's something that like a couple of your friends are on. You jump in, you do a few runs. Like it's like it doesn't require, and I'm sure like that's what I'm saying. Like hopefully some set pieces like really require like they're a little bit more thought provoking, because like you literally can just like trudge through these things kind of like not with your eyes closed, but like you could just be on autopilot, so to speak.
It's also a very good game. Like you know, we're pretty consistently like we'll all jump on and then be like, what are we playing? And then like we're kind of like pigeonholed into like a couple of games, and like I feel like this is just another one of like we can just add this to that roster now and just be like, let's jump into Back 4 Blood and do a couple campaigns. Like
yeah, as long as it's like supported appropriately, which I assuming it will. Like this seems like it's going to really be like their cash cow for this, you know, team that was slapped together to put this game out there.
I think it's also going to be on Game Pass, so it's going to be $0 for us, I think.
Well, that's, and you pay yearly for that.
Yeah, but
for that, so it's not really
it's like basically $0 if you don't think about it that hard.
Yes, I guess if you just ignore your credit card that is tied to, then yes,
it's like
$0.
A Netflix subscription. You just don't pay attention to it. You just have it all the time.
It's free. You just have it. Yeah.
Oh my god. No, you're right. That shit just. Okay, so yeah, we hit the Back 4 Blood note. I can move on. Real quick, I want to mention that I played the closed beta or open beta, I don't even know what it's for, X-Defiant. It's that free-to-play hero shooter that Ubisoft's trying to, like, flesh out.
It's a horrible name.
Very okay. That's all I'll say, honestly. I don't have much more to add than that. If, like, it's free-to-play, or when it comes out, it will be free-to-play. So I think that is, like, that right there will just warrant some interest from people, because why not check it out when it's free? But they definitely, I hope that like they really take into consideration the feedback that people provide, because there definitely is things that need some work in that one. So
I still have no fucking idea what this even looks like. So I kept thinking you were talking about that game Splitgate. And it's
Splitgate looks like too much for me.
Splitgate looks like a lot.
My fucking little pea brain can't handle all that.
I watched a clip on TikTok, I think, of some guy that was chasing himself through his own portals, because like where he placed them, and he like ran through a portal and like would see himself go through his and like his foot and be like, "Yo, what the fuck? Why is this guy running in circles?" And he just kept chasing himself, and then he finally realized and he was like, "Ugh."
Some next level shit.
I watched a clip of someone shoot themselves through their own portal. Because like they set it up and did exactly that, they went through it a couple times too fast and got like turned around and then just shot, and it literally came like, it was the same portal. He's looking at himself and just killed, and you know, I was like, oh, like okay, that would be me. Like, so yeah,
too much.
Yeah,
too
way
much
too
me.
Much. So none of us have played Splitgate, so we could talk about that.
Check that one.
I know you guys talked about it 2 or 3 weeks ago in your episode. Death's Door, I finished it. Didn't get the true ending yet, just because a little too grindy for me. I might go back and see.
Not as grindy
through.
As you think.
I know, we talked about it, but for the people in the microphone who've been playing Death's Door or haven't played it, it's very good. There's no complaints that I have personally. I think it's just a very solid video game in that genre. So.
Real dumb idiot, and I forgot that, like, I remember when this game was first coming out, I, like, made the comparison to Titan Souls, and then just realized, like, a week ago that it's Acid Nerve, and they made Titan Souls. That's, like, fucking... Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Whoops.
That's why it seems so familiar. Yeah. So I feel like this is way, this was way more forgiving than
for
Titan
sure.
Souls.
Oh, yeah. Titan Souls is cool, though. I really liked what Titan
Souls
did.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. So just running through my list here. Hades came out on console. It's on Game Pass on Sony platforms, all that good stuff. I rebought it on PS5. Just a notation for the people out there that want to double dip. There is no cross save for Xbox or PS5. It is a cross save only works from PC to Switch. The developer got out there and said, like, we tried to make it work. Too complicated. Like, sorry. Me personally, I bought it without realizing that, and then, like, very quickly was like, started getting back into it. I was like, this is cool. This game is just really great. I don't mind having to redo, like, all the stuff that I did on PC, and just being able to have it on one of my consoles and just being able to just whenever I want to just do a quick run is great. I already completed one run. I completed it in my first 7 tries, which felt really good. Which was, like, substantially shorter than the amount of time it took me on PC to get my first completion.
It took me, like, 28 tries or some shit before I did a completion.
Yeah, I think I haven't played much. I think I'm at, like, 7 or 8 tries.
You have to get lucky. I mean, like, you have to know which boons to pick, which, like, I was, like, super into the shield on when I was playing it on PC. So when I started up on PS5, I gravitated towards the shield once I had it unlocked and just got, like, a really good run with the hammer that changed the abilities and got some really good boons that just buffed the specific abilities I had, and it worked out really well. So, and I'm, like, consistently getting back to Hades, like, that fight on all my runs, which is good.
Yeah.
But it also just sucks because, like, I'm that type of person. Like, I'll know, like, I'll get to that final fight, and I'll only have, like, half a health bar with, like, you know, no Death Defiance left. So I'll just be like, I'm going to die in here, but, like, I'm not just going to quit the run. So, like, I'll just go in there and get fucking slapped real quick. But, you know, it's, like, one of those things you keep playing. You'll flesh out, like, your skill sets and all that stuff and your health and all the boons and all that stuff. So, but Hades is still incredible. It's just one of those games.
It is fantastic.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, my brother is playing it right now on Game Pass, and I saw him playing it, and I was like, you need to play that and never stop playing it. And then he responded with, yeah, it doesn't really let you. It's like one of those games you do a run, you're just like, all right, just one more. it's like yes, very much. That is absolutely what it is.
100%. Like, once I started on PS5, I, like, that was, like, my afternoon was fucking shot. I was just like, okay, like, all right, this is what I'm doing. No complaints.
I looked at the achievement list, and I'm assuming the trophy list is the same. Some of those are pretty grindy, I will say.
So, to make it easier, and I have no shame in admitting that I'm using this, they have what's called God Mode and Hell Mode, which I think was added in these releases. And what God Mode does is it adds it buffs your damage reduction for every failed run, and it goes up to a certain percentage.
Yeah, God Mode has been there since the release initially.
Did not know that. I had no idea, so it was cool to see that. And I was like, okay, I'm going to use it for my second time around just to help shorten the amount of time that I sink into this, because as much as I'm more than willing to sink a lot of time into it, but I'm also at this point from very much like trophy hunting, because it's a game I would like to platinum. Realizing that I've also platinumed the last few games released by this dev. I did Pyre, and
Pyre is such a good
game. What was the one before that?
Transistor.
I don't think I platinum. I don't think that one had a platinum.
Bastion. I don't think I got a platinum either.
But yeah, I know I platinumed one of the last ones, which is really good. So now I want to see this one through. A good platinum to get. But definitely, yeah, grindy for sure. Some of those. I started the Mass Effect trilogy. Don't have really anything to say on that, except for the fact that, like, I forgot how fucking janky the combat is in one. but the story is still really good. I'm only like a few hours in, so I'm forgetting things. Like I forgot things. So just have, yeah, oh yeah, 100%. So just having it like beat me over the head again and be like, oh yeah, like this is how this really gets going. And like, oh, this is when this character. Yeah.
That doesn't end. Even after I got through one and two, it keeps going like, oh yeah, I forgot about this guy.
Yeah. And like, I just did like a side mission and I remember how like that actually, it's like very quick. And then like, I'm pretty sure it impacts something like late game. And I remember like when I first played it, I like, fucked it up and it came back and I was like, oh Jesus Christ. So it's like the way that those games do that is very, very fun. So for new games, Axiom Verge 2 just came out last week. That was released through the, like right after the indie showcase that Nintendo had. If you played Axiom Verge 1, it's very different, which is at first for me, it was a little frustrating. They made like a pretty, like big shift in terms of the combat. The original game was very like Super Metroid with like it was like a shooter. This one is more melee focused, the combat. So the first few hours, at least for me, were a little rough. It took me a while to get the hang of it. But now that I've played, I don't know, like maybe like close to 4 hours now, and I think it's only like an 8 to 9 hour game, so could say I'm probably about halfway done with it. It's really good. If you like the first one, you'll definitely like this one. The story so far is really interesting. It's not a continuation of the story from the first one. It's entirely different. So if you wanted to just play the second one, you could, and you wouldn't be like, you know, there's nothing, there's no continuation that you would be like missing out on. At least as far as I know. I don't know if there's maybe some shit at the end that ties it in, but I haven't gotten there yet, so I'm not going to spoil it. So yeah, that's all I'll say on that. And I also started playing Super Metroid just because Andrew has been fucking banging that drum so hard. It's great. It is like incredible to like when you realize when that game came out and some of the shit that's in there. And as you're playing it, you're just like the entire time, like this is fuck. This was so
hard. Like, yeah, how just timeless that formula is.
It is incredible. Yeah. And like so many, it blows my mind too, because there's multiple times throughout playing this where I'm like lost, like dumbfounded. Like I don't know what to fucking what to do. And like, I'll just look it up. Like, you know, I'm just trying to get through it. I just want to play it, see it through. And I'm not trying to like get too frustrated. And then I just think back to like people weren't able to do this back then when this thing came out. So it's like it just blows my mind too, how like, you know, now there's a fucking bazillion guides and there's like ways to like break things in that game.
There are some real nooks and crannies in those games that you got to squeeze into to progress.
There's multiple times where I texted Andrew through my playthrough, and I was like, "Yo, I just found this. I never would have found it on my own." Like, never, ever. And, like, I just think back to people who probably spent, like, months just, like, combing that map, like, nonstop, and then just, like, putting a bomb in this, like, random corner and just, like, a little hole.
Planting a super bomb and it blows up one tiny block that you can roll through. It's like, what the fuck, dude?
And there's, like, a power-up back there that you need to progress. Yep. And you're like, oh, okay, this is where that was. Like, fuck me. So, but no, it definitely, like, you pat you on the nail on the head, like, that formula is timeless. And it's also just really cool to go back and play it, realizing, like, when it came out, how impactful it was just for everything that's come after it. And just, like, how so many games just still utilize that formula, like, almost to a fault now.
Yeah, you know, there's a reason that it's a genre. There's a reason why they're called Metroidvanias. Like, the Metroid and Castlevania were the fucking, like, originals.
They laid the groundwork. So, but yeah, that's it for me.
I'll go quick. I beat Orcs Must Die 3 with a friend of the show, Matt. It's really fun. I totally forgot that was a Stadia game that came out a couple weeks ago for PC. It's great. It's more Orcs Must Die. If you like one or two, you're going to love this one. Took us about, I don't know, 13 hours to beat the main campaign. There's also a DLC that's out right now that we kind of want to check out. The new traps are cool. You unlock new characters after you beat the campaign the first time, but they don't really get old. The upgrades are pretty fun. The upgrades, the way they do them are pretty cool. You could keep trying to do new things. You'll get locked into trying a certain, you don't like get locked into like a certain type of trap the whole game or anything like that. I'm actually anxious if we ever do play Pat, because like I'm done now, so like I have all my upgrades, and I feel like if I jump into your game in like the early maps, then I'm just gonna like steamroll everything because I have all my upgrades.
I haven't even launched it. I bought it initially in hopes that I'd be able to play with my buddies Dan and Matt, but it's fucking two player co-op, which is stupid.
It's stupid. There's like some maps I get it, other maps no. Other maps easily could be four people and it would be fine. I don't really know. I mean, I know they would have to like balance it out like a lot because like with money and like the amount of traps you could have, if you just tacked on two extra people, it would be way too easy. You would have to do more enemies
or like
or
less traps per
enemy.
Person. Like,
yeah, you could you do a lot of killing yourself, so like you would have to like deal that back unless they just made the maps bigger with more enemies. I mean, it's possible, but I know there would be a lot of balancing issues. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. I wouldn't mind playing that again, Pat, with you if we ever do that. I played. I did one or two runs of Tribes of Midgard with again Matt for the show. So that game is really cool. Like I know the boats kind of probably sailed on that one for all you guys, but so it's not really a tower defense. It's like it has tower defense elements, so it's run based. Basically, you start the game up and you like you'll have an account and a character, and you level that character up, and as you like get like level up, you get like bonuses and things that you start with. So like when you first start, you're just a naked guy in the forest, and you have to like find rocks and cut down trees, and then you make an axe, and then you cut down bigger trees and other stuff, and then you make a sword, and then you make armor, and then you make better armor, and then you fight these things, and then you get better stuff, and then you go on and on and on. And the catch there's abilities like Diablo, and there's a loot system kind of like Diablo as well, but that's basically where it ends, where the Diablo comparisons are there. The classes are pretty unique. They're not like there's like a warrior, a rogue, like a defensive like warden type class. There's an archery class. There's a mage chemical class, which is cool. So they're pretty different. So like the playstyles are different. And the catch there is that at nighttime, enemies attack the tree of Yggdrasil, like the big tree that was in like Valheim. It's in your base, and you have to protect it, and that's where the tower defense things come in. And you can build stuff like Valheim. You can like fortify your defenses and stuff like that. And that happens every night. And then if your tree dies, you lose. And then your run ends, and you start a new run. And the more stuff you get, like it'll help you out your next run. So you can unlock like we unlocked after our first run, like a starter pack. So we start with like the basic armor and like weapons. So obviously then we don't have to do that when we start out, and we can start doing something else right away. The exploration's really cool. The art style's really cool. Combat's fine. I didn't love it, and didn't think it was bad. One element of that is really cool is that there's a, what do they call the big guys in old like
Greek
mythology
or Norse? Norse is Viking stuff. Greek is like Kratos.
Norse. That like you fight like a big fireman. What Kratos is killing? What are those fucking things called? No. Like a big like god. Like they're called something. They're like I don't know. You fight those guys. They come up and like they'll say like this thing is approaching your base, and you have to go track it down, and you have to fight like this gigantic like towering magma man before he gets to your base and like destroys it. And like that's really cool. It's not meant to be played with like one person, two people even. Like, I could see the more people that would play it, the more fun it would be. I really like the idea of it. Like, I like how, like, it's set up. I've never really played a game like it before. It's just, it's kind of hard to, like, really see what it's doing. But after the first round, I got a pretty good grasp of, like, what it does. I want to play more. It's just not a game I'm ever going to play by myself. But it's different. It's a very unique game. It also has a lot of, it really does feel like Valheim in a lot of ways. It feels like a lot of games kind of like mashed together, really. It's cool.
Is it the Jotnar? Are they like the giants?
No. I'll look it up.
Do
you
remember?
After this and I'll tell you.
Is it? Was it something called Halogi?
Halogi.
No, it's a more common name. Hold on, I will look up. Like it's. Not yeah, I just saw which is it's Jotnar. When I'm done talking, I'll look it up and I will tell you.
I was trying to do it while you were talking, see if we could just narrow it down.
And then played that as fun. I started up a I don't know what you even want to call it, a game of humankind. So I wanted to check it out. Played about an hour. It's definitely not as like quirky and like charming as like say Civ is, but it's got a couple different things going for it. Like so, Civ, you obviously like you pick a Civ and mm-hmm. you play as that Civ. That's like you're what you're doing. You're America. You're, you know, whatever, Spain or something. Humankind, you start out as a caveman, and you're like a blank slate. And you as you go along, you kind of like develop into you pick your culture, and then you pick your like, you know, like how your government works and how your science stuff works, you know, and like so it's, you're not really like shoehorned into one way or the other. Besides that, I mean, it's grid based. Like you pick your little guys, you go around. That's not really anything different. I like the way the outposts work. They're a little less. They're like more. They want you to explore a little more than like say like Civ does, mm-hmm. where you kind of want to stay in like one area, like make your continent. You know,
yeah, the only benefit there. You get from exploring in Civ is just find where people are, really.
Exactly. Yeah. Or other like resources you might need, but that's kind of like later in the game. The conditions to win make a lot more sense than Civ, because like if you know how Civ works, then like you just don't really also know how Civ works, because like it's like so like you know, some of the Civ end game states like make sense, like you fucking destroy everybody else on the map, you win, you build the rocket, you win, but then like does anyone really know how the culture victory works, you know what I mean? Like I know, I'm sure some people do who play a lot of Civ, but I'm just saying like a casual Civ person, like that kind of stuff you'll stumble across. Like, you know, it's not exactly most normal Civ players aren't gonna be like, I'm gonna get the commerce.
Yeah, didn't we like I think the
time,
last like
know?
Actual Civ game so, we played, didn't somebody have like just a random like commerce victory or some shit? I feel like Andrew or you or something.
Andrew,
that's
had,
what it was.
I had culture. I was really close to winning culture. Andrew
oh, was
won
it science?
With
oh, okay.
The science, which is usually the easiest one to win with.
Yeah,
but
you're
I had
just
no
close.
Idea what I was doing for culture. I just kept building shit that was. I kept building shit that gave me culture, thinking I was going to win, and then somehow I capped myself, and I went and I kept going like down. Like I know, like I'm pretty sure Civ. It's like it's like the religious victory where like, everybody has to adopt your religion. There's the diplomatic victory where like everyone has to like side with you. Those are hard to do. And I've played maybe like 10 Civs out of 5 and 6, or maybe just 6, and I've never really seen much of those victories. So with Humankind, you get a fame stars or just fame. I think like and they're different like categories of how to do stuff to get these stars. And the person with the most stars at the end or a certain amount of stars wins. So like one, you'll get like a star for like capturing a enemy outpost. You'll get a star for like securing a trade route. You'll get a star for exploring another continent. You'll get a star for like adopting this. You'll get a star for researching this. So it's like really, it's more quantifiable and easier to kind of understand what am I doing to win. I'm nowhere near that. I really want to play this with you guys so we all can like learn it together. But so far it's, you know, it looks a little easier to kind of understand. The couple starter guides that I read made it seem like it was pretty overwhelming. I have not felt overwhelmed yet. I did the basic. There's like max tutorials, like basic tutorials and no tutorials. I did basic because like I've played a lot of Civ, so like I know how historical RTS games
I feel like
work.
I feel like Civ can get pretty overwhelming. Like there's a lot of mechanics in fucking game that like if you don't know what you're looking at, you're just gonna kind of like.
Yeah, well, think about our little boy here who we tried to get to play Civ, and his brain was like gushing
not,
milk.
Not gonna happen.
It was also relatively late, at that point in time, if Brian was up past like 10 p.m., he was like crumbling in on himself. So
yeah, we did make you play late.
I just really like that. Ugh, I could very much say with some confidence that like I would have to sit down by myself and just try to like figure it out before I played with you guys. Because, like, it was like, oh, you'll learn on the fly. And then you guys would try. Like, you guys were obviously being helpful. But at the same time, it was just, like, one of those things where I was, like, just the fucking interface was, like, giving me a fucking
issue. Well, it's rough because, like, the entire match is, like, if you're taking a while, the entire match, like, progression hinges on everybody taking their turn. Yeah. So if you're sitting there for, like, 10 minutes trying to figure something out and everybody's just kind of sitting around.
Yeah. So say Andrew's first game. He won. He's a Civ savant. But yeah, so I'm excited to try that with you guys. I think it's cool so far. And last thing I played and beat, it took me a while, but I finally beat Skyward Sword on the Switch. Played it in button mode because I was fucking tired of
was my fucking flicking the analog stick okay for you?
Better than flicking my fucking wrist around and constantly resetting the that was the worst part, was resetting it. Like, you would, like, every time, I don't know why it would get so off-centered.
Like that in the original too.
I don't remember it being that bad, but I'm sure it was. But I don't remember it because, like, almost every time. So, like, I would take out, like, my weapon, and he would. I think I said this last time I talked about it. The fucking Link would be, like, looking over there, and I would have to center it back. So I was like, okay, I'm done with this. So I switched to button mode, and I flicked away, and it was fine. Definitely still not my favorite Zelda. I don't think I liked it or didn't like it any more than I did when I played it back in 2012. I did forget about how some of the temples in that game were really good. The pirate ship being one of them was a really cool temple. I forgot that one was there. I really liked the Ancient Cistern temple. Forgot that one was in there. That was like the. Did you play the whole thing?
Not the whole thing. Was the Ancient Cistern one where you like you had to fly the beetle bug around like a lot?
Well, there's two kind of like that. There's the Skyloft temple in the very beginning, and then there's the Ancient Cistern, which is the second round of temples you do.
I think I remember the Ancient Cistern.
The Ancient Cistern is the one where the top is all like nice and, like, you know, water and everything's okay, and then there's a bottom half of the temple that's all like bones and scary.
Oh no, then I don't remember that
scary
one.
Scary stuff. Yeah, that was a cool temple. I remember I really liked the boss,
Gyrahim or whatever.
Gyrodrim or however you say his name. Yeah, he's a really cool boss. I like those boss fights. Still think the imprisoned boss fight was stupid. Definitely didn't need to do that three times. Didn't thought that when I first played it. Thought that again. And knowing the timeline of Zelda a little bit more, and now that I'm older, I care about that stuff a little bit more than I did when I was, you know, 22. It's kind of cool to see where this one fits in the timeline.
It's
like the definitive very first game. Yeah. And I'm sure, like, I knew that when I played it, but I didn't really care too much.
I think my favorite part about that is that you get to, like, see the master, the Master Sword get, like, created, basically,
yeah. But, yeah, so it was really good. I mean, it took a good amount of time. I feel like I kind of slogged through it. I don't know why. I think the controls, like, even though, like, I got used to them, I never loved them. I also still think there needs to be less. That game would have done well with less puzzles, or less areas with puzzles, and just more like normal areas. You don't have to, like, figure out what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, I still think there was too much of that. There needs to be more, what I liked about so much about the other ones is just there were so many, like, different areas you could go that were, like, normal, like, you know, like, were just normal towns and stuff where there was side quests and stuff like that. Like, you got Skyloft, and that's it. Everything else is a big puzzle, and Skyloft is where all of the other interactions happen. I'm sure some people don't mind that, but I remember that was being my biggest pet peeve back then. It still is my biggest pet peeve now. So, but yeah, that's all I'm playing.
I started The Ascent at some point this week. I don't remember when. Played it for like a couple hours. Thought it was fine. Have pretty much zero desire to go back to it unless maybe like we like all play together or something. Okay, because
I would play that with you.
I thought it was fine. Like, the combat was okay. I felt like I was playing Ruiner again. And, like, I thought Ruiner was just okay. And like, it's not as harsh as Ruiner. Like, it feels better to play than Ruiner. It just felt like it. The getting around kind of sucks. Like, I think that was my least favorite thing about it, was getting around, like, running through, like, the hub area. Like, it's not really, it's super, like, they, like, overcrowded it with NPCs, and I get that it's supposed to be, like, a Mega City 1, like, cyberpunk, like, aesthetic, so, like, there's just, like, overpopulation and, like, overcrowding everywhere, but, like, literally, like, the main hub area you run around in, there are fucking people everywhere, and you, like, can't see your character, there's so many people, and, like, there are pathways you go down that are just so jam-packed with people that you can't, like, your character is a silhouette in them because, like, you can't actually see your fucking character because there's so many. And your run cycle is not fast. And, like, you have to, like, the only way to mitigate that for me was to just keep dodge rolling everywhere I went because, like, I was just, like, this takes fucking way too long. Like, what the fuck? They do have like a little navigation, like ping that you can do, kind of like Dead Space, where like, you know, you like hit the where am I going, and then like the line comes out and tells you like the best path to go. So there is that. So that helped, but like just running around was just super slow. Like seeing all the cool cyberpunk stuff is cool, but it was like generic cyberpunk stuff. It was just like neon lights and like Asian character, like alphabet like characters everywhere, like just same shit that you can see in fucking Ruiner, or go watch fucking Blade Runner or something, and you get the exact same thing. But yeah, I thought it was fine. The loot system, I didn't really play enough to get like a bunch of stuff, so I don't really. The loot kind of, for me right now, was kind of underwhelming. I didn't really get much. The character upgrade stuff was okay. You get, like, mods and stuff that you can put on your character and, like, swap in and out. And along with, like, different abilities that you can, like, swap in and out, I believe, if I remember correctly. And, yeah, those are fine. I know it's, like, they're kind of marketing this almost like a, kind of like a Diablo, but, like, I don't know, like, you just... Your character, like, from what I can tell, your character doesn't get built out enough, really, to be like a almost like a Diablo type game. So I don't know. I would, like I said, like to go back and play with you guys and see if I have a better experience, like running around with you guys. I was playing Samurai Warriors 5 a whole bunch, and it's okay. It's fine. Not my favorite. Very much feels like it was made for the Switch. It just, the way, like, graphically it looks like a Switch game. The menus are, like, very, I don't know, there's something bad. Like, you know when, like, you're playing something and you're just, like when you're, like, going through menus or, like, just, like, playing it, like, you can just tell, like, it was probably developed for, like, a specific platform. Yeah, like, that's the vibe I get from that. And, like, one of my favorite things about the Warriors games in general is that, like, the roster is always the thing that, like, pulls me to those games. And because the roster, one, is huge in pretty much every game. And you choose a character, and it's almost like shooting, like, a fighting game character. Like, they all have, like, unique weapons with, like, unique movesets that do, like, you know, unique fighting styles with, like, unique special attacks and, like, all this shit. And this game, for some reason, it still has a big roster of characters, and, like, they all have, like, specific weapons that they use, but I can give any character any weapon I want. And, like, you can upgrade, like, you can up their proficiency with those weapons, and, like, you know, certain characters have, like, preferred weapon types. Like, this one character might prefer, like, a spear, and this character might prefer, like, an odachi. But from what I can tell, their fighting styles are, like, the same. Like, if I give, like, two people the katana, they're both gonna fight the same way. And that shit, like, turns me off a lot. Because, like I said, like, the whole thing, the entire reason I play these games is, like, all these fucking characters have, like, these crazy weapons, and they all do, like, wild-ass shit with them. So, that was kind of underwhelming. And then, today, I downloaded and beat 12 Minutes. And I have no shame in saying that about halfway, not even halfway through that game, probably like a quarter way through that game, I pulled up a guide because I was ready to pull my hair out.
So, like, do you think that, so do you feel like you still got the most out of it you would normally get? Because, like, that's why I don't think I want to play.
I think so. The story is good. I like the story a lot. But, like, some of those puzzles, because it's a point-and-click adventure, and, like, it's just, some of those fucking puzzles, man, are so convoluted, and, like, why would I ever do this type shit? So, like, I got, like, a couple hours into the game, I progressed okay on my own, because I was just, like, you know, trial and error, like, a lot of stuff. But, like, you get to a point where you are talking to, like, your wife, but you need to have the same conversation with her, like, three loops in a row. And, like, why would I logically go just to have the same conversation again with that person to progress more, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and, like, there's a part later where you have to, like, get a phone and look into the messages on the phone, with, like, you have zero reason to do this. Like, at no point do they prompt you into doing any of this. You get the phone, you go into the messages on the phone, you open one of the messages, and then you call the phone number. The phone doesn't connect, or the, I'm sorry, it connects, and then you, like, they kind of, like, hang up on you. So then the next loop, you have to go take your wife's phone and then call that phone number again. And then you finally get through to the person and you have a conversation. Like, why? Like, what the fuck? Like how would I have known to take this phone and call, like, just call this? Like, I didn't even know you could do that.
No, you, like, you wouldn't have known it. It's just one of those games where they just want you to exhaust all of the options.
Yeah, and, like,
everything available, even if it's not. Like, it's one of those, like, old school, like, escape the room games that they just, like...
Which is fine, and I've played my share, like, my fair share of those types of games, and I've always been able to, like, progress naturally. There was just, there were just...
Like, reverse engineer, yeah. Or, like, just root out the what the solution might be, but obviously this one was just a little too, kind of up its own ass.
Yeah, it was like, there were, like I said, like, the first couple of hours, like, I was able to progress myself, like, logically, like, checking boxes. Like, all right, I did these things... So let me try these things. And then, like, I would eventually get to a point where I was like, okay, cool, I'm good. And, like, something new would happen. And then I got to a point where just everything I was doing, like, nothing mattered. And I was like, you know, fuck this. And I looked up a guide. And I did like the story a lot. I thought it was really good. I thought James McAvoy, Daisy Ridley, and Willem Dafoe all did great jobs. I don't know. I saw some people complaining about the voice acting, and I did not have a single issue with it. It is surprisingly more, like, traumatic and, like, kind of, like, more brutal than I was expecting it to be.
I was gonna say I've heard some people not complain, but make a case to say that they were not expecting it to be as graphic as mm-hmm. it is. And
yeah,
wow, it's graphic, yeah. Really?
Yeah, like I
didn't know.
Like, I got my character has gotten shot. Like, I like it was like I got like fucking handcuffed and like my fucking like brains blown out on the ground. Like it was like, Yeah, there's some...
What? Oh, shit. I thought it was, like, stick figures.
Have you even seen a trailer for this, Dan?
The original one they showed off at E3, like, 2019 or whatever.
I did like the story. I thought the conclusion was, like... I thought it had, like, a nice twist to it. Like, I was like, all right, that's pretty fucking wacky. Cool. And like I said, like, I thought... I did think that all of the performances were great. Like, I know that I said, there were complaints online of, like, them, people not liking the voice acting and stuff, and I didn't have a single problem. So, if you're point-and-click adventures and you're, like, willing to, like, dump the time into it, then go for it. It is on Game Pass, so if you have that, you can just fucking download it there, which is another reason why, like, it didn't really bother me so much to look up a guide, because I just downloaded it off of Game Pass, so, like, I didn't...
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it didn't really, like, you know, affect my pockets so much. So I was able to just kind of do that. I would still say, even just to experience the story, like, play it and just fucking play it with a guide if, like, you really just want to just see what the fuck happens. Because it is pretty crazy.
We'll get you a pat.
I could do that, too. I don't even know if I could really... I could do that. That's it. I haven't played anything else.
Okay.
Cool. We'll do some news.
Yeah, we'll run through a few things here quick.
Newsy poozy.
So Call of Duty Vanguard was announced, and it brings the series back to World War II. This is apparently supposed to release in November.
I did read something that it's not, like, straight up World War II. It's, like, just after or something, and you're, like, hunting down, like...
You're hunting down Hitler's
like,
successor.
That's, yeah, his heir or something.
Hitler 2, as the internet has been calling this protagonist.
I thought you said
Schittler is the name of the... No, I'm just kidding.
That's a good one, probably. Real clever.
So that's... I mean, these stories and, like, this single player will interest me more than, like, some of the more recent ones. So for that alone... Yep. I'm excited for this one, and I think Call of Duty games always release, even the ones that, like, people say are bad, like Ghosts and, like, the one of the, like, you know, Future War, whatever the fuck that one was.
Advanced
had,
Warfare.
The guy from Advanced that had, what's-his-face, shitty Kevin Spacey and guy from Game of Thrones. Or those were those two separate games? I can't remember.
No, that was the same game. It was Kit Harington and Kevin Spacey, I believe.
Like even that single player was good. Like,
yeah,
that was fun.
I will
like they make a good first person shooter.
Most recent Modern Warfare was fucking fantastic. that campaign was so good.
It was, yes, that one was excellent. I didn't like what they did with some of those characters, the old okie dokes on some of them, but man just shows up with a different leg.
Well, because they did that in fucking Warzone, and it's stupid. So, like, why progress? Like, why progress that story in Warzone? I will never get over it.
To me, he's dead.
I will never get over it.
He died. With
it's
honor.
So stupid. I was so mad when I saw that trailer, and he just like popped up, and he's like, "What's up?" I was like, "Why?"
So speaking of Warzone, they announced that Call of Duty Vanguard will have full Warzone integration, and apparently this is going to be part of like they're calling it a metaverse. What do they mean by integration? Is just the weapons and operators will be added to Call of Duty Warzone the same way that they did this for Black Ops. And then like after Vanguard, I guess like you know like the same. And this is perfect to Pat's point about how like they continue stories in Warzone, they will do that with Vanguard in some way, shape, or form.
Sure they will.
There are some questions that need to be answered because obviously the arsenal of weapons is drastically different in terms of, you know, between Warzone, Call of Duty Black Ops, because those are more modern, and obviously a game set in World War II. So, like, how are these things going to be balanced and stack up against one another? And also the map might be more World War II themed, so there might be, like, just a new map in general. Might not just be whatever the main Warzone map
that's
is.
That's good.
Yeah, so I don't know.
That's real
fucking
good.
Fucking milk and Verdansk for all it's worth for however long that shit's been out.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
There was different tiles on some of the buildings.
New Verdansk.
There was enough. I think from what I read, people said that there was enough differences.
I played a lot with Cody and Dakota, friends of the show, and there was a good amount of changes, but felt like you were playing
Verdansk. Yes, okay.
Version.
We could agree to that. So, yeah, I mean, there's not too much to get into with this announcement other than the fact that it's just another Call of Duty. For me personally, I think it's cool that it's set back in the World War II, and the fact that it's set, like, after, and it's kind of like, you know, you're not just going after, you're going, like I said, Hitler II.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot.
Yeah, fucking come up with something and make it original.
Yeah, that's what they did with fucking Cold War. It's just like some wild shit happening in those fucking games.
Yeah, you're 100% right, and those were some of their best, so... So moving on here, so news most recent to today, Halo Infinite won't have, campaign co-op at launch or its,
Forge.
Illustrious Forge mode.
Stupid. That's dumb. That is, does suck.
It kind of sucks. I was looking forward to playing the campaign with you guys.
Yeah, that's definitely a bummer. I'm certainly more on the side of being upset about, campaign co-op. Yep. I think that is like a huge oversight. I would just, to me, like delay it.
Again,
just push it back. They didn't release any timetable, and then also I think because like this might change again. Like I think that the general consensus of the internet is that this is a real big bummer. Mm-hmm. This does not have a confirmed release date yet. It's still holiday of next year, so it could get delayed again, and maybe they will actually just like package it with campaign co-op. Who knows?
They should. Me and you have played the last two Halo games co-op. And like
it's
I feel
crazy
like,
to think that, right?
Yeah, and like I don't remember a single thing about them. So like I was hoping like this,
I was hoping
that this one would be the one where I was like, "Yeah, fucking sick ass fun time with my boy Brian and Halo." And then
now we just ran around shooting.
Yeah,
stuff
now we can't
bullshitted the entire time. Now we can't. Yeah. So, man, it's this game's development cycle has been the definition of a roller coaster. You know, it's like from that first trailer, everybody was so disappointed, and then they came back with like the stress test, and then everyone felt so good about it. Like I didn't really read any negativity from the stress test that they did like a month or two ago, and then now with this news, it's just up and down, up and down. So, it's tough to see because this is like a franchise that like I think so many people hold near and dear to them.
Yeah.
They just want to see this franchise succeed, and it's just like obviously it's. You know, I think when it does come out and all said and done, I think that they are really taking the time to release a good product that everyone will enjoy. Whether it's, you know, if the campaign's not, you know, pristine, the multiplayer will have its moments, and you know, there will be some some good takeaways, but you know that remains to be seen because it's a little bit of a ways away, and they're obviously having some issues that they need to iron out.
I mean,
out,
I'm so. One of those people. Like, I've always been a Halo fan, and like it, like the last two games have kind of been a bummer to me, and like I just didn't like. I'm like
almost every time I fucking like turn on my Xbox and like get like an advertisement for like the Master Chief Collection, it always like just like, plays in the back of my head like I should replay.
Yeah.
Like it always just
bit,
like
yeah.
I should replay all of these right now, and I just like you know.
My brain says you should fucking smash Brian on lockout 1v1.
We all right. Well, to set the record straight, we were pretty even in terms.
Did we actually play?
We did. Well, I think like you. We switched. You beat me on lockout, but I beat you on. Oh, man, what was the map we played? We played two different maps, and we tried two and a different Halo. It was pretty even though. Like there was one round where I beat up on you, and the other round you beat up on me. So it wasn't like no one ran away with it. So, yep.
Fair enough. I'll beat the fuck out of Pat.
You would
no
just
problem,
get his fucking cheeks clapped.
You think you got what it takes to rumble with the king?
Pat is the most competitive.
I haven't played in a long time, but I always thought I was pretty decent.
I always feel like I was better at Halo than I was at other games, but I could just have been totally wrong about that. So.
The training wheels do come off pretty easy. I will say that.
They do come off
that,
very
the
easy.
The muscle memory for that game is like no other from all the hours that were put in my childhood. Finally, Destiny 2 is partnering with BattleEye for anti-cheat systems.
Goddamn. About time.
Not that BattleEye is...
It's something. Is, it's not the best thing, but it's something.
That's what I think. Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to say. It's glad to see that they're doing something and making an effort to fix one of the most glaring problems the game has in its competitive, you know, PvP community. So, and even for the PvE side of it, like there's people who break raids. They just, you know, the game's fucked up in terms of it's cheating. Like the community that just kind of runs rampant with cheating, so it's glad to see that they're trying to fix that. So there's also a new season launches in a few weeks, a bunch of new changes. I'm not going to get into all the specifics on that, but if you're someone that plays Destiny 2, be on the lookout for all that stuff because it seems like they're making some pretty interesting changes. So and the last thing that I wanted to mention for news, so Fortnite 100% ripped off Among Us.
Oh, yeah, they did.
And introduced an imposters mode.
Oh, yeah.
This was not a tie-in. This was not in any way, shape, or form sanctioned by the Among Us developers. 100% just a ripoff, like, to a T. And, yeah, the Among Us devs are not happy.
Yeah, I don't blame them. It's pretty much exactly what they did initially with, PUBG. They were just like, oh, let's do that. Like, the game didn't work out.
Oh, yeah
they were like, Fortnite, the base game, Save the World, didn't work. So let's just try this, I guess. And it worked. But it's from what I can tell, the imposters mode isn't really working for them.
I've seen there's an article, and I don't know what publication has it, but somebody wrote an article today that's saying that they find the imposters mode in Fortnite to be more enjoyable than Among Us than Among Us. Which is just like, oh, that's really something. So, it's just crazy that they didn't collaborate. The dev is Inner Sloth. It's the studio that created Among Us. It's insane to me that a company that big, which is like, I guess they can get away with being scummy, but they just at the same time like didn't feel the need to collaborate with them at all.
Yeah, it's just funny because like how much of a stink Epic made about like the Apple Store and all that shit and like all like
that's a little different.
I know it's
like
different,
the,
but like you know you guys are like making a stink about that, or you're just gonna fucking let me just. Pull this whole fucking idea from these guys and use it ourselves. Like,
I'm not surprised. I don't even think they think about it. That's how big Fortnite is. You know?
So the community director, in quote, said it would have been really, really cool if we collaborated on this. One of the lead developers had a bunch of tweets that he has since deleted and then wrote something basically saying, like, yo, these were, like, a little too spicy. Like, sorry. and one of the other developers just tweeted, like, the pictures of the maps like side by side and just did like the like thinking emoji like just like yo like we see you guys. The community director wrote something along the lines like saying that like game mechanics fine, those shouldn't be gate kept, but if there are at least even different themes or terminology, make things a little bit more interesting, please, with question marks. So it's obviously that a lot of people who put time and effort into Among Us, rightfully so, are a little perturbed about this. So it's the it's not so subtle in terms of the way that they copied it, in terms of just like stealing the game mode. But yeah, it really is. So that's Fortnite for you, though. It's
yeah. I've given up on Fortnite. It's too much stuff going on.
Anytime.
Even besides all this.
It is insane to me that, like, and there are still people who, like, you know, they stream that game nonstop. It's still super popular. But every time I, like, I go back to it and just watch just to see, like, oh, just, you know, check the pulse on it. It's just, like, your head starts to spin.
Yeah. And there's still just, like, the same, like, 15-year-olds that were super obsessed, where their Instagram's full of just them doing build and edits and stuff like that. Like, that's still just as popular as ever. Just that whole, you know, super competitive side of it as well. So, like, I always hated that side of it. So now that the fun side is too wacky and weird, and the competitive side is still there, which I also hate, it's kind of like I don't really have much motivation to go back.
Like, I can't think of a game in recent history that, like, the curve in terms of, like, the experience that you need to be competitive in that game,
dude, like, it's fucking tremendous.
It is so insane to me. Like, I could rattle off a fucking dozen first-person shooters that we could jump into right now, and, like, yeah, we'll have a bad game, but we'll also have a couple good games. Like, just by the nature of the mechanics, like, you'll pick things up, like, you get better at it, like, you know, rinse and repeat. That game, like, you legit have to spend fucking hours, like, mastering the fucking, like, the techniques and building and edits and all the shit. Like, I watch some streamers, like, just occasionally will just pop in, just be like, oh, let's see what's going on. And it just, it's nauseating.
I will say, as much as I am not a fan of Fortnite just in general, the events that they hold are, like, second to none. Like, I don't think there's another game out there that could do what they do as far as events go.
Yeah, I mean, they've done some really cool things, like, with the live concerts during the pandemic, and, like, they, like, every time they have, like, you know, but then again, they have fucking more money.
Well, yeah, I mean,
God,
they have
so it's
fucking an Ariana Grande, like, virtual concert. Like, I'm sure she probably has no fucking idea what Fortnite even is, but they were like, here's
a blank check. Yeah,
here's fucking $100 million, just do this for us, and she's like, all right.
How much am I making? Yeah. Cool, don't care.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You know, I'll do whatever. Great. Sure. Okay. Where's the check? Got it. Okay. Like, it's just when you have that kind of, the resources are just bottomless, so they can just do whatever they want. Yep. So it's just one of those things where it's like, that's why they also can get away, which is ripping off, you know, Among Us is super popular.
Well, and that's
a game that is also very popular. And it's just also crazy that they were just like, eh, all right.
Well, that's kind of the point I was trying to make with, like, the whole Apple thing. Like, you know, they're all angry because Apple was doing whatever they wanted on their App Store. But, like, you guys are also just a huge company that is going to do whatever you want with this now for, like, a smaller company. That's kind of shitty.
It is shitty. It very much is definitely one of those things that, like, you just don't – you hate to see it.
Yeah.
But – so, yeah, that's it for news. I'm sure there's more stuff to talk about, but, you know, too bad.
Yeah.
Guys, got any off topic?
I have a bunch of stuff that I watched this week.
Yeah. I haven't been on in a while, so there's, like, a ton of shit I could mention, so I'm not going to get into everything. I will just mention one album that came out today, Infinite Granite from Def Heaven. They are a band that has, like, shape-shifted in terms of, like, their genre and everything. They're incredible. The new album is really, really good. If you're into shoegaze or indie rock at all, definitely check it out. But then, like, try to listen to some of the early stuff, and you'll just see how drastically this is in terms of, like, you know, like, from what they originated from to where they are now. It is just goes to show the talent that they have. So it's definitely worth checking out. So would recommend. Yeah, that's it. Also, watch Suicide Squad, and I want to say that that fucking creature at the very beginning is terrifying.
Weasel?
Weasel.
Yeah.
The weasel.
They did.
Just like Pete Davidson. Yo, it's just like a, it's just like a dog.
Yo, that like the whole movie was very, very good. No complaints. Just so, like so much fun, start to finish. The like the animation though for that fucking thing.
Yeah. So good, with its eyes and shit, like looking like
so
different
gross.
Directions. So
like
good.
Audibly when that was on screen, my girlfriend, like, and usually she doesn't like commentate on like, you know, she, like threshold for that stuff. She's like, this thing's gross. It was so funny. Yeah. I was like, it really is.
It's gross.
They did a good job.
Yeah. I would say that Suicide Squad is probably my favorite DC movie next to Joker currently. Suicide Squad. I mean,
it is pretty crazy that there is another movie in that, like, with some similar characters,
and like how, like how happened? Much better it is, like in comparison, is fucking crazy.
Yep, it is pretty wild, to say the
just
least.
Just go watch the first one and just watch Will Smith phone it in for 2.5 hours, and then watch this one and watch Idris Elba have the time of his life. Like, it's
I mean,
great.
It just goes to show if you put someone on the project that actually like
gives a shit.
Yeah, like, you know. And not only from the sense of like a writer, but also as just like a good director,
and the source material, like,
yeah, he understands the assignment
for sure.
So, go on. What do you guys got?
Got anything good, Dan? I have a couple things I'm gonna list off. So if you want to just get your however much whatever you got out of the way, get your fucking garbage out of here.
Pack says good stuff.
Got him.
Season finale of Dave was great. I do think, like we were talking about before off the podcast, that season was kind of all over the place. Can't say every episode I loved, but that the season finale I definitely thought was definitely the high point. I watched Umbrella Academy. I always thought it was great, not good, because it always looked cheesy. It was good. I mean, I'm not gonna say I think it's like the greatest thing ever. I liked it. I know it's like not the best comparison, but I liked it a lot more than
very
Doom
different
Patrol,
shows.
Which Doom Patrol I bored. Well, yeah, but there's still kind of like two like misfit groups of you know people that like and like shows that like the budget's not super high. So
well,
just,
yeah,
like,
I mean, Umbrella Academy has like a solid like plot that it's following all the time, while Doom Patrol like every episode like it'll get there, but like every episode there's just some wild shit happening and like.
Yeah, but I just kind of obscure characters with obscure abilities, and they all have a dad.
They do have
dads.
They do have dads, and one of them has a monkey.
But yeah, I really liked Umbrella Academy. I don't love time travel. There's a lot of time travel in the second episode, second season, I should say, and there seems to be just more of that going on. So like, I don't love that. I think time travel always kind of falls in on itself a little bit. They did it okay. I really like the characters, like the personality.
How good is Klaus?
They do a really good job. They do a good.
Fucking love Klaus.
Klaus is incredible, you know. And then I really like how they incorporated Ben into the second season a good amount more, made him like actually like, a part of the team again. You know, I think the kid who plays
great.
Five is phenomenal. Yeah, really really good. You know, so I like, you know, I think that like the powers are pretty cool that they have. Obviously I wish there was more like battle scenes like at the beginning of season two where they have like that really cool battle scene and they all die. You know, like that, like more of that. But I also understand like why a show like that wouldn't have a ton of that in it. But yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I am like almost done with the first season of Ted Lasso from like last night. Incredible show. Brian has been banging that drum for a while. I was under the misconception that the show was like a really silly comedy, not like a heartfelt, like feel good comedy, which makes it way better. Really, honestly, it's easily my favorite thing I've watched. I'm not even done with the first season. Easily my favorite thing I watched this year. Like, I want to go back and like rewatch it before I even stop watching it. Like, it's just a really really good show, and I'm really
there's
excited
so
to
much
watch
in,
more of
there's
it.
So much in there. There's so, it there's is yeah and like there. It just the way that some of the jokes play off of each other is the writing's very clever. It is I can't recommend that show enough. Ted Lasso is special season one is just so above and beyond expectations. Season 2 so far has been good. I've seen some people make, you know, have some you know, justifiable complaints. But all things considered, it still is, you know, sticking with its theme and is still very enjoyable. So,
yeah, definitely. I think that's all I've watched recently. I feel like there was something else, but I can't think of it. So, what do you got?
If it pops in your brain, feel free to cut me off. That's perfectly fine. Yeah, so watch Suicide Squad. I finished, I don't think I talked about it last time, but I finished Mayor of Easttown finally, because I had initially watched the first episode and then, like, dropped it, like, real hard.
Very good.
For no real particular reason other than, like, I just didn't go back to watch it. Show's incredible. It does a phenomenal job of making you suspicious of literally every single character in that show all the time. Also keeps you guessing until, like, the last 5 minutes of the last episode about what the fuck is going on. And I think it was just written really well and, like, wraps itself up, like, super cleanly. And you're like, all right, well, not cleanly. Like,
they do put a pretty good bow on all of the...
I just meant, like, terrible things are happening the whole time. So, like, it's not necessarily clean, but it's, like, it's done smoothly, I guess. Trying to think. I watched the first episode of Reservation Dogs and thought it was very good. I plan on watching the other two at some point. There's not really much to say about it. I'm only, like, an episode in. There's, like, one standout moment in the first episode that, like, actually had me, like, cackling. I think they kind of show in the trailers a little bit. Other than that, throughout the week, I watched the 4 Evangelion rebuild movies.
You want to talk about this, well, huh, Pat?
I don't really want to talk about it. Other than saying that it's great, because I don't think I have the brain capacity to like actually talk about it. Like, it's like so. I was trying to watch them, like, day by day. I started on Tuesday. I watched the first movie Tuesday, the second movie Wednesday, and then I watched 3 and 4 yesterday. There was so much weird shit happening by the end of the third movie that I was like, I need to roll right into 4. Because, like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. So,
yeah, imagine waiting 7 years.
Yeah. So, I've barely remember the show when I watched it initially, because I watched it so long ago.
I'm really glad that I've watched all of this within the last year.
Yeah, like, recently.
The show, the two movies, like, I've pretty much consumed all the content that I can for this.
Yeah.
I haven't finished these new movies. Also, you know what was crazy? So Amazon announced that they were going to release the fourth installation of the Rebuild series, mm-hmm. which is the, you know, what they're calling the new movies. And, they made no announcement clear that they were going to release the other movies. Yeah. It was rumored at best. Mm-hmm. Like, I was scouring the internet. I was looking everywhere. Couldn't find anything. And, like, there was just some, like, fucking forum post. People were like, well, like, they might, like, blah, blah, blah. And then the day that they, you know, that they were announcing that they were going to release, I'm sorry, not the announcement, but the day that the fourth movie came out, they were like, everything else.
Yeah, the other three are here, too.
I was like, oh, fucking God.
Yeah, I was like, oh, perfect. I can just watch those all, like, back to back now.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, because, again, there is some wild shit that happens in the original series, but also in these movies. And, like, some crazy, like, just existential shit that was, like, dude, like, I was so lost.
Take a deep dive to hear subconscious.
Dude, I was so lost in, like, the last, like, probably like the last, like, 45 minutes of the fourth movie. And that shit is 2.5 hours long. And I was, the last 45 minutes, I was like, what the fuck are we doing? Like,
you gotta be really dialed in.
I was in there, dude. I was.
No, I know. I even then, like, that's what I'm saying.
I was like holy shit. You gotta be, like, really, like, in tune with, like, your brain, like, and just, like, really, like, just really in touch with, like, your subconscious, and, like, just know, like, I don't know. It's fucking crazy, dude.
How does someone get
it, ask the show, dude?
Ask the show. Ask the writers. And the man that's been like directing this series for his entire life. It's definitely one of those things where like you have to just go into like, especially towards the end of it when it gets into like just the more bizarre end of the spectrum. Like, you know, the show starts out with just like, all right, there's a couple
guys
kids
in a robot
fighting
some
robots.
Stuff.
Yeah. You know, robots, they got to fight some aliens. Yeah. It goes so much deeper than that.
Yep.
No, it really is. It's one of those shows that just like, if you want to like have like a fucking,
it's
like,
it is a,
you need like a book, like Evangelion for Dummies.
I would
essentially
as confusing and like weird as it is, like it gets you thinking about it so hard. And like, I personally like, Evangelion is like a flagpole like anime that I think you like kind of need to watch. It's just like, I don't know, it's just so different from fucking like, if you just want to watch a child basically just be like psychologically manipulated for like years of his life.
It goes deeper than that.
Oh
too.
Yeah, for
like,
sure. It does.
Like, the subtext for the other characters as well. Like, I will never forget when I watched the original series. I watched it on Netflix. The last two episodes are just like, and there's reasons why they're so different in like their art style, and there's like, you could do a deep dive on the internet as to why that is, and like that, it's just crazy. But it's a show like that, and pat you in the nail on the head, it just really makes you fucking think.
Yep.
And also like, you can interpret it in one way that is entirely different than so many other people can interpret it.
Oh yeah.
And there's not many shows that you walk away from like being like, oh wow, like, okay, this is like what I'm taking away from it. And then you go online and there's a bazillion other people who are like, well, I think it's more about this, and I think it's more about that. And it's just, it's fucking insane. Yep. how deep it runs. It's so cool.
Yeah. There's a character in the first movie that I was like convinced I knew what was going on with them. And then at the end of the fourth movie, I was like, I was wrong. I was so wrong. Holy fuck.
I think I know exactly what you're talking about, too. And I love this.
Oh, man. This shit. Yeah. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
As confusing as it is, there are plenty of resources on the internet. So I pretty much immediately went in and like started like reading wikis and stuff. And like, I think that like, you know, as I'm sure a majority of people like to have things kind of like wrapped up nicely and just like, this is what this was and why it was there and what it meant. I think like a lot can be said for shows that like, you know, really get you into like a thinking space and like make you want to do like, I don't really want to say research, but research really. And that show that fucking series has that in spades. Like it's pretty nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're ever on the fence about watching, I would say
get in the robot, Shinji.
Yeah. Get in or get out. Fucked. If you want to see the worst dad in anime ever,
it's pretty bad. That line's changed in the original from the show to the movie.
Is it the first
movie? Yeah, he explicitly says get in the robot, Shinji, but in the movie it's get in or get out.
Yeah. Fucking crazy.
Which is incredible.
Damn, when I say he's like the worst at, like, he's like comparable to like Sho Tucker from Full Metal Alchemist. Like, he's a piece of shit. He's a real piece of shit.
That's a real bad dad. Oh boy. Okay. That's
I had a couple more things that I totally
go ahead. That's all I had.
I watched Shadow and Bone on Netflix. Really liked it. I thought it was like, I heard like mixed reviews on it. I know it's based off a book, right? So I know there's like a lot of material there, but I like just like the set pieces and like the costume design and all that is really, really good. I liked like where like just
yeah.
I, know,
I,
w- really
I watched the first
show.
Like episode, I think, and I thought it was cool. It has like that, like, I don't know if it's just me, but all the like a lot of these Netflix shows like have this weird issue where they like don't mix their audio correctly, and like all of the sound effects and other things that are happening far outweigh the dialogue. So like there's like wild shit happening and people are talking, and I have to like turn my volume up to like 70 to hear them, but now my TV is exploding.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, can I hate that shit?
I've had that problem on, I feel like, everything in my life since I was a kid. I like watching something at night time,
yeah,
and like, okay, you fucking hear him, so turn it up.
Yeah,
and like,
fuck.
Explosion,
yeah.
Fucking turning it down. Yeah. So, but it was good. I mean, I would recommend it. If you watch the first episode and liked it, you'll like the rest. I mean, at parts was a little hard to follow, but I think you know, overall, and the main bad guy in it is
from
I forget.
Yeah, he's the guy that Punisher. Plays Jigsaw and Punisher, and he's in fucking.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Westworld. Fuck me. I was like, yeah.
I knew he was in something else big. Yeah. And the main girl, and it's kind of a babe, so I like it. I watched. I know I'm a little late on this, but I watched the second season.
Oh, so
of
good,
Mike
yo!
Yeah,
how great is Carl?
I mean,
how
again,
great
not
is Carl?
Every
Havoc?
Skit. He's doing fucking shit on me.
I'm ripping the fucking chin off.
The amount of times I like just say things from that show, so like I hit, I had a barbecue this weekend, and I hit Pat with a sloppy steak real quick. And Pat just started cracking up, and his girlfriend annoyed at the fuck we're talking about.
Yeah, right.
Oh man,
I love that show so much.
Yeah, it's great. Again, not every skit nails it. A lot really do nail, definitely more than the first season. I one of my favorite ones is when he's in the haunted house, and the guy like makes a joke about like we could say whatever we want, and then he's like, no,
yeah,
he cum shot. I was just like,
oh,
what?
Man.
Like, I just want to ask if they just came to the wall with a big ass dick and there was a cum shot. Like,
I've realized with so that good. Show oh, that man. Like if there's skits that didn't resonate with you right away,
just watch it again.
You got have to rewatch it. Like honestly. I've probably watched the second season like 3 or 4 times now.
I guess I should. Like the one that stands into my head that really didn't nail it for me was the like the one where like the pants one where like there's like a secret society of the pants people who make it look like what was it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm talking about something with. They're in the office, and, like, there's pants, and then everyone...
Oh, the fucking... Like yeah, like society. The... I don't remember what the website was called, but yeah, I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, you know what
I'm
talking
about?
You have
to contribute.
I was like, oh. Yeah. Was like, I was... Yeah, and then, like, and then yeah, like everybody's in on in this fucking... Like, that one was like, okay, it's funny, but this is kind of taking a little too long. Like, I get the... Sometimes, like, the fact that it goes a little long is why it's funny. Other times, it's not, you know, as funny. I thought the first skit was fucking eating the hot dog out of his fucking...
That first episode comes out banging. The hot dog skit, the coffin flop, and then Carl Havoc. Those first three skits.
Coffin flop is so good.
Yo,
there's a great article about how they filmed that, too. I recommend everybody read it. It's hysterical.
The hot dog skit when he, like, steps on it on the backpack. And he does, like, the little taps with his foot is so good. The one where and then we can move on after this. But when they're all at dinner and he starts choking on his food and he doesn't want to be embarrassed in front of that guy, and he's just choking and he's like, yo, dude, are you choking? And he's like, no, I'm not choking. And he's like, and they get the ambulance called and shit. It's so good, dude. That's so fucking funny.
Is that?
Yeah.
I can't remember if that is a season one skit or not.
It might be.
I did
go back and watch some of those, and they all kind of blended
good.
In my head.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a season one.
Yeah. Season two is definitely better. There's a good amount of season ones that stand out, but some of season one.
Honestly,
funny,
it's one of those things where if you go back and rewatch it, you'll be surprised about how much shit you go back and you'll be like, oh my God. Like, and just find yourself laughing.
Yeah, and the last thing I watched, the first episode of What If, Marvel. And it was good. I mean, the same thing. It's like, I can't put much weight onto those because it's What If. Like I remember like reading comics back when like when I found out what If was and thinking like this is cool, but
yeah,
doesn't really matter because you know what I mean. So like it's fun to watch, but it's nowhere. It's never gonna hit the heights of like Falcon and Winter Soldier or like WandaVision or something. But it's
people were pissed off
cool
at the
enough.
Fucking T'Challa as Star-Lord one because like they end it with like something with Thanos or something like, and people are like. Yeah, people are like pissed off about like the way it ended. Like, yo, dude, like, but it's literally like it doesn't matter. It's like none of these episodes matter. And the thing they're made, the things that they're like mad about, like Loki, like the Loki show also kind of like did something similar. So like, you're not mad at that, but you're annoyed at this fake thing. Like, this is fucking stupid. Yeah,
it's not canon. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. But yeah, that was it. forgot. I was sick the past week, so I watched a lot of stuff. I knew there was stuff.
I have not watched What If yet.
That's definitely one of the ones where it's like, I honestly don't think I'll commit the time to it. Like, maybe I'll put one on here or there. If people say it's, like, really good or worth checking out, but I really just have no interest in it.
Yeah, the only one I'm, like, genuinely interested in is the zombies episode when that happens.
I mean, What If is good because you can literally just watch
it. Yeah, that's exactly my point. Like, I just want to, like, I'll wait for the zombies one to come out. I'll watch that. And then if there's anything else that interests me, I'll check it out.
Exactly, because, like, you know, Peggy Carter as Captain America is I fucking don't care. It was just the first episode, you know. Like, I never sat around thinking, like, well, that'll be real cool if that happened, you know. I mean, a female Captain America is a cool concept, don't be wrong. But, like, I never thought Peggy Carter was, like, this awesome character that I really wanted to see.
In that role specifically, so I get what you're saying.
So. All right, that's it? We're going to let hell loose? Hell yeah. All right. Well, this was the OK Gamers podcast. It's the one and only podcast
you can find.
You
can move your
three
face
of us
a little
it.
Back from your microphone when you do the outro.
Oh, yes. He has to get in there.
Why?
You could do the post space then, away. Okay? You could edit it.
What? I'm not even that loud yet though. My slavings are perfectly fine.
That's the keyword.
Just a general rule of thumb is that when you do your test before we start recording, and you test yourself with your head in a certain position, and then you lean in back and forth.
This is where I test from. This is how
I will say when he was testing, he was in there. He was getting deep.
Yeah, I was in there. I mean, maybe I'm like here, but I'm not like hello everybody. You know,
hey man, I love you.
Microphone.
I'm trying to save the earbs of our listeners.
Okay, I was definitely loud in the beginning because I was excited, but you didn't even let me get loud yet before you sort of reprimanded me.
Again, someone's got to rein you in.
I think it was just mostly.
I'm here for you, okay?
But how do you rein something
in? I think it was mostly like
in
anticipation. Like he was like, "It's gonna happen. I gotta."
But did it happen?
As you said before.
No.
Again.
That's like getting mad at your dog for getting out of the yard before he got out of the yard.
That's a good analogy for this one, okay. Please take us out to sea.
Oh, shit.
All right, well, this is the only podcast where you can drive and man me early and unwarranted. Please come back next week where I'm sure he'll do it again. You can follow us on Twitter. Pat's at PC Mirth. Brian's at Doesn't Matter. Dan's at DNNowns. Join our Discord at OKGamers.com. Everyone can show the video of your lives. Bye.